When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in our number two of the program here on Monday morning, and it is Money Monday. We are joined now by Manny, the Money Man Resendiz of Euclid Financial Services, and of course, you know him from the Retirement Factory here on WBSM. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Tim. Glad to be here. Just living the dream as usual.
Summer's going well?
Always. Just trying to stay out of trouble and stay busy.
Well, I can't imagine that things haven't been busy for you handling phone calls and emails from clients the last couple of weeks, because I've mentioned to you off the air, I saw on my social media after that little market, what's the right word for it? Is it a dip? Is it a crash? How would you describe what happened with the market?
So I would call it more of a dip or a reaction. Not a true crash in the sense that, yes, we lost 1,000 points, but when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, it literally was around a 2% movement of the entire market. So while that is still a big number, it's not something that I would say panic about, right? Take a step back and just go, am I safe? Am I still working? Do I still have money coming in? And then don't look at your 401k statement for a couple of days, because it will eventually bounce back.
That was the thing, is I saw everybody saying, oh my God, check your 401k. This is a disaster. But these kind of, when you get involved in a 401k, you have to understand that there's going to be some fluctuation there.
Yeah, the market's volatile. Right. And all volatility just means is how much of a swing is it going to have on any given day, positive or negative? We just happen to see a really big swing downward because we had a bunch of things come out all at once that caused, well, investors to become panicked. Right. On the new jobs report came in lower than what we expected. Unemployment was a little bit higher than what we wanted. Japan made some changes to their interest rates. So there was these little things that just kind of happened all at once that by themselves, not a big deal, but when you have them all at once and you're already anxious as it is, it creates kind of that herd mentality of let's kind of sell off. I think the key is to kind of ask yourself, where are you? Are you within 5 years of retiring? Well, then maybe you should take a little bit more of a look at your retirement accounts. If you've got 10 or 15 years to go, put the statement away, look at it as everything being on sale and keep putting money into your account because it'll make up for it later. We've been alive long enough that we've seen these cycles before. This isn't anything new. And so as long as you don't need the money tomorrow, don't panic is probably the only advice I could give. And then just take a step back and go, hey, where am I when it comes to my own goals? And is this really going to hurt me 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 3 months from now?
And even if you are somebody that's closer to retirement or that might even need that money tomorrow, I mean, What do you say to somebody in that situation?
I think this is where you actually reach out to your financial advisor. So if you are using one, you call them and go, are we safe? If you don't have one, reach out to myself, reach out to the Retirement Factory, and let us take a snapshot of where you are. Because if you're within 3 years of retiring, you should have some structures in place already so that if this type of event happens, your retirement income isn't damaged, right? We've talked about it before here on the show. you've got three different types of income. You've got your guaranteed income, your predictable income, and your flexible income. If you are getting ready to retire within the next couple of years, your guaranteed income should already be in place. So that's the money that's going to replace your paycheck so that you always have food, shelter, clothing, medication, right? The four food groups of retirement, because I'm pretty sure without them, you and I won't retire. And so that's the first thing you check. Is my guaranteed income safe? Is my foundation okay? Because if you had to retire tomorrow, would that check still come in? And if the answer is yes, you're safe. If the answer is I don't know or I'm unsure, then you want to double check it, because the last thing you want to do is be within that window of retiring and then have the market move the way it does and then leave that uncertainty in place. Because it's okay for your flexible and your predictable income to move, because you're not using that on a day-to-day basis. So you can give it time to recover if you need to.
And that's why we talk about it's important to have, you know, multiple prongs to your retirement plan.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, because the worst thing that could be happening in this scenario is you see the market dip, your account reacts a certain way, and if you hadn't been rebalancing consistently, this is a good time to kind of reevaluate, is my strategy still working? And when things start to settle or at least get back to a place of comfort, then you can rebalance. And rebalancing doesn't mean you're going to sell everything off and rebuy new items. It's just if one section of your account grew better than another and another section pulled back, you're just kind of evening it out so that you can stay stable, so that when the market dips like this, you don't lean too far one way or the other and watch your plan fall over. It's kind of like the three-legged stool. If one of those legs is a little wobbly, sometimes you got to maybe stick something under there to prop it up, or you got to shave down one side to make it even. All we're trying to do is keep you centered and balanced.
And that's why it's important to work with a financial advisor, because you've seen this happen. You know how to address those issues, so you're not left trying to figure something out on your own.
That's exactly it. When you're working with your advisor, especially when you're working with somebody like myself and the team at Euclid Financial, we're not looking at what is your money doing today. While that does have some bearing and some effect on your planning, what we're looking at is what's going to happen 5 years from now. Did the decisions we make today actually put us on path to hit your goal, hit your target? And that target could be anything from I'm going to retire to this is the money I'm going to use to travel the world to this is the money I'm going to pass on to my grandkids. It doesn't matter what the goal is. It's just a matter of if the decision we're making today, will we hit our target based on our goals and our projections and what we think is going to happen? That dip on that Monday, while that does have an effect, if we watched after the dip, a couple of days later, we watched some of it come back. And so just like with anything else in this world, if we look at it in the moment, we're going to have one reaction. If we take a step back and we look at the bigger picture, a lot of times we're okay, we're safe. And then it's just a matter of where are we going from there and what decisions do we have to make? That's why I always look at it. The stock market's a tool. We have no control over what it's going to do, how it's going to do. If you and I knew exactly what it was going to do, we wouldn't be on air right now having this conversation.
Right.
We'd be somewhere else much warmer and much nicer. But in the grand scheme of things, the stock market doesn't care what your goal is. It's going to do its job one way or the other. Between yourself and your advisor, that is where we look at your goal and we use the market to get there. And when it no longer makes sense to use the market, we use other tools or we change how important the market is in your plan.
And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the stock market had been seeing some good high numbers. So it's going to have to kind of regress to the mean at times. And it's really something that, as you're saying, it's a tool. So it's something that you're trying to make sure that you're in there at those moments when it's going up and that you're not as heavily invested in it when it's having the down period. So it's, for lack of a better term, it's a game, and you have to know, you know, what the strategy is. Just like in basketball, when the score is a certain thing, you run a certain play.
That's exactly it. And so having that strategy, having that plan, that is really key to having that open communication with your advisor. And so if you're looking at your statements right now, or you've had some anxiety because of what happened over the last week, and you have not talked to your advisor, or they have not reached out to you, now's a really good time to check in and evaluate, are they really working towards your goals with you, or have they forgotten your goals and the only one that's working towards them is you and you're not in charge of the plan? That's more of the warning that I would say. And so if that's the feeling you're getting, or you haven't talked to an advisor yet, reach out to us. You can get to us right through our website, euclidfs.com. That's EUCLIDF as in financial, S as in services.com. You can schedule an appointment right on there, or you can call us direct at 401-727-2727. We'll gladly have a conversation with you and figure out, are you on track for your goals or not? And then if you need an updated plan, we'll give you the updated plan. Especially it, with an environment like this, you want a stress test on your accounts to figure out how much risk you really are taking, because I don't think it's going to be any smoother for the rest of this year. We've seen enough volatility to know that until we get past November, there's going to be some bumps in the road.
Well, we'll get into November in a moment, but so basically for most people, the strategy would be just sit back and wait and watch, because things have a tendency to work themselves out. But for the people who do want to act and they do want to do something, you talked about rebalancing. What are some of the things that people might do when there's a 1,000-point, you know, dip in the market? What are some of the things they might want to do at that point to try to protect the money that they have?
So great question. So first thing is, make sure, did you lose all the money you earned from January till now? That would be kind of my first step, right? Look at your overall account. If from January to now you're still positive, then that's a win. That means even though the market took a big hit, you didn't give all your gain back. If that's the case, then I would just look at the investments you're using and then make a call. Am I comfortable with the amount of risk and the amount of movement it had? If the answer is no, then I would rebalance, but I wouldn't do it alone. Have someone look at it with you, because let's be honest, you are working 40 hours a week, sometimes more, dealing with family and home, and you have a million other things on your plate. You're going to look at your 401k, you're going to go, I don't like the way this looks, I need to make a change, and then you're going to make a change for the sake of making it, and that might not be the best decision. Make sure you have all the information first, and then rebalance. And that's generally where if you can reach out to your advisor, your 401k has a lot of information that's available to you, and if none of that sounds like plain English, again, just call us at the Retirement Factory. We'll put it back in a plain English and go, this is the way to rebalance, or these are the items I would look at.
And by rebalancing, that might be taking some of that money out of the market and putting it into a different vehicle?
It could be. You have a ton of choices within your 401k, and then depending on your age or your plan, you may have choices outside of that. Those are all available. The key is remembering two items. One, where are you trying to go? What is your goal? What are you using the money for? And then second, what are all the choices that are available to you that will help you get to your goal? It's not a matter of picking the latest and greatest stock or investment. It's more about, where are you going? What are you trying to get done? And then using the tools that are available to get there. And a lot of times, it's just a matter of just changing the percentages or rebalancing the actual funds you're in. And then as you get closer to that retirement, starting to use other tools that are designed more for income and less for riding the ups and downs of the market.
Well, in addition to the stock market dip, there was also a lot of things that have happened in the news since the last time we had you on the air. So with everything that's going on and with the presidential election coming up, people are already making assumptions.
Yes.
Based on how it goes one way or the other, how that's going to affect them, their wallets and their savings and potentially their retirement. You've seen a lot of presidential elections over the years, over your time as a financial advisor. What would you recommend to people heading into November here and heading into what might be coming after that?
Well, I would say first and foremost, don't overreact. The market between now and November is going to be volatile, which doesn't mean a crash. It just means you're going to have days like we did on Monday where it's going to swing pretty far down one day and then it'll bounce back another. And for the most part, we're basically going to tread water, in my opinion. Now, again, that's my opinion. No crystal ball. I could be wrong. God knows I could be. This is why I look for goals and not for projections. But with that being said, after the election is complete, regardless who goes in, the market usually stabilizes and in most cases goes up. And it's because the stock market doesn't care who the president is. What they care about is who is actually in and what's the direction that they're going to go in. And so as an advisor, my personal opinion on who gets in and who doesn't has no bearing on how I plan your portfolio. My job is to look at what will happen if candidate A gets in and what happens if candidate B gets in. And in the grand scheme of things, the economy will go up regardless of which candidate goes in. It's just going to be a matter of which part of the economy based on their policies. And so as long as you and your advisor have that conversation of how are we going to rebalance, how are we going to change for who's in, you'll be absolutely fine. And so short answer, don't make a dramatic change. I would become defensive or protective just so that this way if the market does pull back, you're safe. And then rebalance or change as needed once we actually have a clear answer of a candidate. That doesn't mean the market will go one way or the other. It just means you have a clear path on what you're going to do. And then once it actually happens, just like with everything else, the plan itself may not work, but the process for being ready to plan is always invaluable because at least this way you have an understanding or an idea of what could happen.
And just because you might be concerned that the policies of one candidate may conflict with some of the investments that you've made, well, there's other investments that will come if that, you know, if that candidate ends up getting in. So, you know, let's just say you're worried about, you know, you're invested in oil and you're worried about the future of oil. Well, then you can move it into electric power or something.
And that's exactly it. Every sector has something different. There are certain areas of the economy that are always going to be stable, regardless of who gets in. And then there's going to be other stuff that, depending on policies and plans, will move one way or the other. We're not trying to find the next latest and greatest. We're just trying to make sure that your account grows and keeps up with a gallon of milk. Because let's be honest, we know things are going to go up in value. We just have to make sure the things that you're purchasing also go up in value.
And if anybody has any questions, 508-996-0500, or you can send them over quickly. Well, actually, my app chat keeps crashing, so maybe just call in with those questions. But so you're going to spend the next couple of months assuaging fears of people and helping people kind of see the forest for the trees here. But what would you say outside of the election is the other concern that people have right now?
So I would say right now, the only other real fear that we're kind of hearing is there going to be a recession? And if I were a betting man, I don't believe we will hit one. I think there'll be some bumps. I think there'll be some items that are going to pull back. But I don't think we're going to have a 2008 or a 1987 type of scenario. I think it's really going to be more of are companies going to start to hire and grow again, or are they going to become flat? And if that's the case, we're just going to kind of be almost like reliving the 90s all over again. So I don't think it's going to be anything catastrophic, but from what I'm hearing, it's more of, you know, can we get price of goods down, and is there going to be a recession? And short answer, we don't know. Anyone that says they do have an answer, they're either being extremely optimistic or they're looking at data that may not make sense. I find the best plan to have is to know where you're going and what are the actions you're going to do to get there. And then whatever happens during the world, you react as appropriate.
And again, you know, the investments that you make can't necessarily be recession proof, but they can be recession insulated.
And that's exactly it, right? One of the key things you're going to hear every time when someone says the stock market is there are no guarantees and past performance doesn't mean any future success. There's a reason for that, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We have an idea, we have a guess, and now it's an educated guess because we have lots of charts and pretty graphs. But outside of that, it really comes down to what you as an individual are trying to accomplish. And I know I keep stressing that a lot today. And the key for it is you can't overreact to what's going on in the world around you. You and I have no control over that. The only thing we can control is the direction we're going in and the choices and decisions we make on how we're going to get there. Some of them are going to work out great. Some of them we're going to look at and go, maybe we should have done that differently. But that's life in general. I think if you just have a plan and you're not doing it alone, you can get through it at any point in any time.
So see, everybody that was out there pulling all their accounts and cashing it in for gold bars and hiding them under their beds, you don't have to do that.
I would suggest not doing that. It's heavy to lift those bars to bring them to the store to get milk. Unless we can chip a little piece off.
I don't know how to make change for a gold bar, so I would not want to do that. Well, before we let you go, Manny, why don't you remind everybody how they can reach out if they want to reach out to have any questions answered or...
Absolutely. Again, the door is always open. Feel free to reach out to us either through our website at euclidfs.com. That's EUCLIDFS and financial S's and services.com. Or just pick up the phone and call us at 401-727-2727. You can call or text that line and we'll gladly talk to you.
And you mentioned to me off air that the busy season is coming up. So should people kind of act sooner rather than later if it's something they're thinking about?
I would. As the summer starts to wind down, everybody starts to get their end of year planning in to make sure that there are no last minute things they should change. And for some people, if they're retiring at the beginning of the year, now's a really good time to make sure your plan works.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us and for helping to calm us down a little bit with everything that's been going on in the world.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here. Can't wait to talk the next time.
All right. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will have the news for you. Stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back in. We will take your phone calls, 508-996-0500, app chat, and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But right now, it is time to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Biden speaks out on ending his reelection campaign. The FDA approves an alternate to the EpiPen, and some history made at the weekend box office.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is explaining why he decided to end his reelection campaign.
In an interview with CBS Sunday Morning, Biden implied he was indeed thrown under the bus by his own party and all those pesky down-ballot races.
But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic.
Biden announced last month he would end his campaign amid pressure from other Democrats following his poor debate performance against Trump and amid concerns over his mental acuity. I'm Rob Martier.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is responding to J.D. Vance's criticism of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's military service. In an interview with CNN's State of the Union, Buttigieg cited Walz's 24 years of service in the National Guard.
The fact that a veteran wants to go out and disparage another veteran just goes against certainly everything I learned during my time in service.
He added that Vance has suddenly become particular about precision in speech and honesty, yet he's Donald Trump's running mate. Vance has criticized comments Walz made in 2018 in which he said he handled assault weapons in war. The Harris-Walz campaign said the Minnesota governor misspoke at the time. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says the worst is yet to come if Kamala Harris is elected president in November. During an interview on Fox News Sunday, the Republican senator criticized Harris's position on the Israel-Hamas conflict, claiming the Biden administration has emboldened Iran and their proxies.
Kamala Harris's comments yesterday, like her policy towards Israel for the last 10 months, just an example of how she's unprepared to be the commander-in-chief.
He criticized Harris for refusing to take questions about which direction she wants to take the country. Cotton said the more that voters learn about Harris, the less they're going to support her. A 4-year-old boy and his dog are among the victims of Friday's plane crash near Sao Paulo, Brazil. The boy was traveling with his mother and grandmother, all of whom have Brazilian and Venezuelan citizenship. The plane was operated by regional carrier Vopas, which updated the death toll to 62 after including a passenger who'd not been accounted for. All of the bodies have been recovered and most have been transported to the Sao Paulo police morgue. Officials say there were 34 males and 28 females on board, and there were no survivors. The FDA is approving the first needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. Here's Dina Kodiak.
It's a single-use nasal spray to treat allergic reactions in emergencies. Neffy from ARS Pharmaceuticals can be used in adults and some children. The FDA says this may alleviate the fear of injections, making Neffy an important treatment option. I'm Dina Kodiak.
And husband and wife Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are dominating the box office. Reynolds' Deadpool and Wolverine took the top spot at the box office for the third straight week. The Marvel Studios film took in $54 million to help bring its global total to just over $1 billion. Meanwhile, Lively's It Ends With Us blew past expectations with $50 million at its debut weekend to take second place. The last time a husband and wife duo took the top two spots at the box office was in 1990 when Bruce Willis's Die Hard 2 finished in first and Demi Moore's Ghost debuted in second.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox begin a three-game set with the Texas Rangers at Fenway tonight at 7:10. And the Patriots are gearing up for their second preseason game. That's Thursday with the Philadelphia Eagles at Gillette Stadium.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Plenty of sun today, a slight chance of showers this afternoon. Highs near 80 inland, a few degrees cooler right on the coast. Clear tonight, making way for a totally sunny Tuesday with a high of 82. If you're wondering about humidity, levels will be comfortable for the whole week, and we're looking at sunny skies until we get to the weekend. Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
It's all been done before, and if you could only let it be, you would see I like you the way.
And of course, that is Avril Lavigne's first big hit, Complicated, but she's had many of them, and she's heading out on her greatest hits tour. It is coming to the Xfinity Center in Mansfield on Saturday, August 24th, along with guests Simple Plan and Girlfriends. And you could be going to see the show for free. You can enter to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's this week's giveaway for Tim's Tickets, brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, located on Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And if you want to go to the website, to the app, and enter to win, if you are one of the lucky winners, you'll get an email from Casey. You sign online. She sends you the tickets to your Live Nation or Ticketmaster app. They're the same thing. And then they're your tickets. You can either go to the show, you can transfer to them somebody else, whatever you want to do. So if you want to go to see Avril Lavigne at Xfinity Center in Mansfield, enter now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
What's shaking, playboy?
How you doing, Lamone?
Just living and loving, brother. So I went to go see Patti LaBelle this weekend. I was either going to go see her, Jason Derulo, Mariah Carey, or either Jerry Seinfeld. So I went to see Patti LaBelle. It's been a while since I've seen her. She brings back memories, like one of the last memories I had with me and my mother and my two older daughters. We went out to Gladys Knight's house, and Patti LaBelle was there, and she invited us in for some Sakatumi cake. And so that was a long time ago. That was so Gladys Knight, they're really nice people. They cook really good. So they're too bad cursive. So what I'm saying, Steve Hoff, he's already talked to Shannon Daugherty and Willie Mays. Died.
Oh, of course he has. He probably did within the first 24 hours. He's the biggest fraud out there.
And you thought that everybody thought that what's his name was who's the dude with the Ponzi scheme? I don't know. So which one?
Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, him. Yeah, that's the one. That's taking up. I see the face. Yeah, that's what. Yeah. So how do you think the Patriots going to do this year?
I would be surprised if they're a 500 team, but you never know. I mean, I'd like to see them make the playoffs, but I don't think it's going to be this year.
Did you like them to have Bailey Zappe playing?
I don't think he's the best option anymore, no.
What do you think? He was good when he was – was it exciting to watch?
He was better than Mac Jones, but I think they've got better quarterbacks on the roster now. It looks like he'll get a chance here in the preseason to show if he needs to stay on the team or not, but I got a feeling that he'll be the odd man out when the season starts.
I just recently acquired a bunch of maybe 7 or 8relic RPA cards with autograph patch cards with Bailey Zappe on them, some eBay 101s on two more 101s.
Well, yeah, hang on to them, because I think he's going to stick around the league. I just don't think he'll stick around this team.
How would you felt? Would you like to have had what's the face there? The one who was in that married to Sierra.
Russell Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, would you like to have had him?
No, I'd rather they were building for the future.
I've got his rookie baseball card, he was drafted by the Yankees.
I mean, I would have liked to have had him, 5 years ago maybe, but, at this point in time, it's like I'd rather see them build up Drake May.
You think it all went down at the Super Bowl? Is that one of the most memorable sports moments in the Patriots history?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And probably, would you put it like in the top? How would you put it like in the top? Got to be top three at least, right?
No, I think top five for sure, but I don't know if top three. I just remember it as, I like to fondly remember it as Pete Carroll finally delivering a championship for New England.
And the New England has been picking them up left and right. So I guess that was, didn't they play like 2 years ago in the Super Bowl prior to? Because I think, didn't they won the Super Bowl like 2 years prior to, right?
I'd have to do the math, but it sounds right.
I think the Broncos played and then they won, then they lost to the Seattle then. I don't think like the year before then.
Who do you think wins the Super Bowl this year?
Give me 2 weeks and I'll tell you. I haven't really looked at everybody yet. And, that's also when my fantasy is going to start, my fantasy league. So yeah, I'd like to say the Dallas Cowboys. My mother went to labor with me, stayed and watched the Cowboys play, and my cousin Tony Dorsett was born to be a Cowboys fan. And so, like I said, I'd like to say them. And it's like so many people hate up on the Cowboys. They hate up on the Patriots. For whatever reason why. Do you know why that there's a hole in the stadium above Texas Stadium?
I don't know why.
It's so God can watch his favorite football team play.
Go God!
Right. You go God!
Right now, I'm waiting for the boss here, who is an Eagles fan, to text me and say, cut him off, cut him off. Go to a commercial.
Well, hey, I would figure I'd hate the Eagles, right? But only two teams I hate are the 49ers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've cried like a little girl behind those two teams plenty of times. Like I said, I've had more than my share of sleepless nights because people behind those two. Most of the time, when I was a youth, like I said, those are the days of catch. And like I told you how I talked to ESPN and stuff, and how they did the commercials with Gatorade and stuff like that, where Michael Jordan missed the last shot, and then Dwight Clark didn't catch the ball in the back of the end zone. And that would have been so nice. Oh, those are the days. So, are you doing spooky this weekend?
No, not this weekend. Definitely not the next couple weeks because I'll be traveling. But maybe early September. Not the first week of September because I'm going to a concert. But maybe the second week.
If I were to die, would you come to my funeral?
I would think I would have to. Yeah.
I would hope so. Do a live remote thing from place high up in the air. That would be nice.
From the high desert.
Yeah, exactly. In the high desert,
The kingdom of Nye. All right, I got to hold you there, Lamone. You have a great day.
Okay, I'll try. I hope everybody have a good week out there. And may the good Lord smile upon all of you.
All right.
And take a light, New Bedford. Bye, Miss Getty.
All right. That is Lamone in Las Vegas. We got to take a break. We will be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. If you want to call in and chime in with anything that's on your mind, anything that might have been on your mind over the weekend. There was also the story that broke over the weekend of the apparent Donald Trump campaign email hack. That some sources believe that it was Iran that was involved, although Iran says they had nothing to do with it. But someone got into the campaign emails, I guess through a phishing link. So basically, that's phishing with a PH. Basically, phishing is when they send you a link and try to hope that you'll click on it. And they sent an email to somebody high up in the campaign from an email address of a former high up in the campaign. So this person's like, well, oh, obviously, if they're sending me something, it's safe. And the screening software that they used didn't catch it. And apparently this person clicked on this link, which then allowed the hackers to backdoor their way in. And that's something that can happen to any of us. That's why you always got to be careful when you're sent a link to click on in an email and you're not sure who the email came from. That's why I never really click on links at all, really. Even if it comes from a trusted source, like say from within our company, they've given us plenty of trainings on what to do, including what you do in a situation like that is you hover over the link. And usually your email client will show toward the bottom of your screen where that link is going to direct you. And if it's going to direct you to, you know, where you expect it's going to go, a site that you know is safe, then go ahead and click on it. But sometimes you'll see a whole bunch of letters and or you'll be like, wait, what? Why is it sending me to this? And then you even need to be a little bit more savvy. So, you know, something might say you got an email from PayPal and you have money that you just received in your PayPal account. You say, well, I'm not expecting any money. What's going on here? And then you hover over the link and it says like paypal-accounts.com. And you think, well, that's got to be them, right? Click. And you've given up all your private information. You got to be savvy enough to know that it would be a paypal.com/something or other. So yeah, it can be difficult. And I'll tell you this, in my previous role here as digital managing editor, I had employees that would forward me emails and say, is this safe? What do you think? Is this legit? Especially as our company got more, you know, digital and more remote, there'd be links to click on to watch this presentation or to watch this meeting or to take part in this conference call. And so, yeah, you had to learn to navigate what was safe and what wasn't. And obviously the people who say what you will about any presidential campaign and who you think is involved in them, but people at that level are savvy people who have thousands of emails a day. And they probably know better than to click on something. But when you're getting that many emails a day and you're just trying to respond to as many as you can, you know, that's when they get you. And it sounds like that might be what happened. You know, I'm watching as the sun is bright and shining, and it's going to be a nice couple of days here. Great weather. Not too warm, not too humid. Not a day when you're going to have to run the air conditioning 24/7, but that bill from the last couple of weeks is on its way to you. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, how can I save money on this? Well, one way you can do that is by going solar, right? Can you save money by going solar? Doesn't it cost money to go solar? Is the savings going to balance out with what I have to invest? These are all the kinds of questions that Isaacson Solar can answer for you. Simple, honest, direct answers to all of your questions about going solar. So instead of trying to figure it out yourself by Googling or clicking on websites that a lot of the times are just, you know, ads in disguise, call Isaacson Solar. Reach out to them at isaacsonsolar.com. They will come to your house. They will tell you if you're a good fit for solar or not. They will answer all of your questions, and they will give you a free, no obligation quote. So don't mess around with all these other fly-by-night organizations that just come in, put in solar panels, and leave. Trust in Isaacson Solar. They are part of the South Coast community. They're based in Fall River, and they want to be your partner in solar. IsaacsonSolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. We'll be right back. That's going to do it. Another hour in the books, but stay tuned. We have another hour together. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails will be open on the WBSM app.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.